You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And as of this very moment, you are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist. Hope your day's going well for you so far. Make it more so and check it out today. I have a great author. I'm going to be answering a lot of listeners' questions about relationships and other issues, which I'll be happy to do. And also, you can give me a shout if you'd like to call in. That number is 323-203-0815 in our beautiful downtown studios in Studio City here. The mecca of entertainment. 323-203-0815. Let me first mention my guest today is going to be the author, Suzanne Ross. She wrote a book called The Wicked Truth About Love. Can be wicked sometimes. I'll tell you just how much and why. And she's going to tell us too, so we'll find out more. That'll be so much fun. Also, if you would like to email me and ask me a question, you got issues, problems, you got relationship questions, come on down. You can email me about them, and I will be happy to answer them for you. My email address is docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C, Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. Or you can check out my website as well. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy, drmichelletherapy.com. You can find out more about my philosophies, trying to detox from the drama in your life, as I call it, and making positive life changes as well. Okay, cool. So you can do that, and I'd love to hear from you. What I'm going to be doing is answering some of those emailers' questions a little bit later after we interview Suzanne on the show and try to help you out with some of your, you know, relationship issues. We'll do that. I've already gotten some of your approvals, and I shall, of course, hide your real name if you'd like so you cannot be identified. But this is an international show, so hey, you know, I don't think anybody's going to say, hey, that's so-and-so. Anyway, we're going to be talking to Suzanne Ross, the author of The Wicked Truth About Love. And her thing is all about asking you if the search for the love of your life keeps turning up empty. Have you been in too many dead-ended relationships? Yep, according to a lot of my listeners. You say you haven't found your soulmate? If you've ever asked yourself, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And I have a lot of folks asking me just that. What am I doing wrong? Is it me? Well, yes, it is, probably. And some of the people you're picking as well. So, we're going to try to help you out with that today by talking to our author, Suzanne Ross, on the line. Let me pull her up, see if she's here. Hey, good morning, Suzanne. Are you there? We're going to get her. Wait. There we are. Good morning. It's Dr. Michelle. Hi. We're live. All right. We're going to try again. Let's try this again. Hello. Let's try this again. All right. Get my producer to get on this right away. All right. Okay. Well, we're going to try. Oh, there we go. There we go. Hi, Dr. Michelle with you. Is this Suzanne?
Yes, it is.
Hi. How are you today?
Hi.
You're doing
yes,
good?
Great.
Good. It's good to hear from you.
Now, yeah.
I've been kind of promoting you here, just into the top of the hour, and I've been telling them about your new book, The Wicked Truth About Love. And I love that title, by the way. It's in parentheses, The Tangles of Desire. And Suzanne has given you a book that will help you find the right person for you in a healthy manner, folks. And also, by the way, Suzanne, your illustrations are really neat. I love your illustrator.
Oh, thank you.
She was really good.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for those, but my gift is not in that area, but Susan Drava did an excellent job, I think, capturing not just the difficulty with the problem, but the fun you can have with it too, you know?
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to take things too seriously.
Yeah. We gotta make this light and help people out at the same time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Suzanne, let's just jump right in here. And by the way, it's so nice to have you with me. And I'd like to find out what kind of led you to write this book, which is The Wicked Truth About Love.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, love is one of those very difficult topics that I never thought I would be writing a book about, actually. But I was noticing a lot of folks getting tripped up on the way to love. And I just was noticing that they were getting tripped up over kind of the same things. You know, they had these ideas in their head about what love is.
Right.
Maybe what perfect someone would look like or act like or dress like.
Right.
And they didn't realize that these ideas came from somewhere outside of them, that they weren't really springing from some deep inner authentic self.
Right. Authentic, I think, is the key word, Suzanne. You're right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So much of, you know, so much of the media and you know, what we get from, I don't know, movies and television and, you know, online information and services and our mommies and grandmommies. You know, it's not all it's cracked up to be when you're out there. It's not as real, like you said, huh?
Right. It's so interesting that that our culture and our pop culture in particular, I mean, the pop culture is designed to entertain us, right?
Right.
Not really give us the things that we're really going to need to live our lives well.
Right.
And I think sometimes we forget that difference.
Right.
And it's really not our fault, because human beings are sort of, we're wired to absorb the things around us. And we just take stuff in without even realizing it. And when you grow up listening to, you know, reading fairy tales or watching Disney movies or whatever, that forms how you think about love and how you think about what a relationship should look like. And I think we need to learn how to sort those things out a little bit better.
Right, right. I agree with you. And I think, you know, there's a lot of myths that we can kind of shoot down today, too. And also help people identify the kind of, you call it the tangles of desire. But, I mean, they're more, you know, they're kind of the way we think sometimes about relationships and who we are that, you know, may be sort of getting us in trouble sometimes, huh?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
I called it tangles because I really like that idea that we're getting tripped up.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean there's some fatal flaw in us and that, you know, we're somehow fundamentally incapable of a good relationship.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's nothing like that at all.
Right.
It's simply that we're following the wrong framework, pattern, ideas, whatever. We can choose to follow a different pattern.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, I have so many listeners who write me and they say, what's wrong with me? I keep doing the same thing. I keep attracting the same kind of guys and they end up hurting me. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, maybe we can help those folks out today, huh?
Exactly. So. Exactly. It doesn't have to be the same thing over and over again.
Right. And you can stop that right now, folks, and read The Wicked Truth. But, you know, your books are based on the concept. It's called mimetic theory. Is that how
yes.
you pronounce it right? What does that mean?
Well, mimetic is just a fancy scholarly way to say imitation.
Okay.
And, yeah, so it's a theory about human desire.
Uh-huh.
And it what it's kind of what we've been talking about. It says that, and it kind of turns this conventional wisdom on its head that says, if you want to know your true heart's desire, just go deep down inside.
Uh-huh.
You'll find something in there that is somehow the authentic you, and you just have to find it and then act on it, and you'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
Well, mimetic theory says that desire, your authentic desires, you weren't born with them.
Yes.
They were learned.
Okay.
And so they like to use the word imitation or mm-hmm. borrowed, mm-hmm. that you have influences all around you that teach you what's desirable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can see this, advertisers know this better than anybody else.
Right, right, right.
Because they know that their job is to plant the seed of a desire in you that you didn't have before you saw the advertisement.
Exactly.
And they want to grow and nurture that in you until you think you had this great idea to run out to Burger King. You know,
right.
When truthfully that desire was planted in you,
right, or to
by
run out.
All those advertisements.
Exactly.
But it's that confusion, yes, where
right.
we think that was our great idea to go to Burger King.
Right.
You know?
Or go, find the right king in our lives, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so what mimetic theory says is that this is really not a bad thing. This is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ability to absorb and learn things from the world around us, it allows us to be creative mm-hmm. and innovative and to learn and grow and change. I mean, what makes human beings
right.
and not animals,
right.
you know?
That's how we survive, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's how we survive and create these amazing cultures that we all find ourselves living within without giving a second thought to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all a result of this capacity for us to learn from one another
mm-hmm.
and to build on one another's knowledge and make it grow into something that wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also the thing that gets us into trouble.
Right, I know there's a but coming there. You know, but
yeah.
all this stuff we
yes,
learned,
unfortunately.
And buy into, and what we should have as a mate, and how we should behave, and some of the games we should play, and how we should think about guys and relationships, it's all hooey sometimes because we have to find
yes.
out for ourselves what really works. So does that mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's so funny. We're talking about media affecting our perceptions and all that. So that messes up people and what they expect, right? Because
mm-hmm.
they're expecting something else and they have this idealized, you know, form of how they should behave and the kind of guy they should be attracting or need to attract, right?
Right.
Okay. So it's not, it's never, there's no such thing as perfection. Ever.
Right.
You know.
Well,
it's,
exactly
it's all relative.
Right.
It's all, you know, subjective to the individual is what works for them.
Well, it is. And I think what is important for us to always remember is that we're always going to be influenced by someone or something.
Right.
That's sort of the given.
Right.
The question is, who or what are you going to be influenced by? You
mm-hmm.
get to choose that.
Aha.
So you can choose to be influenced by romantic comedies or reality TV and let that teach you what a relationship's supposed to be like, or you might listen to Dr. Michelle once in a while.
Thank you
or
for that
read
plug.
A good book.
Right, right.
Pardon me?
I said thanks for that plug. I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, I think it's really important for people to understand that who they're in relationship with
right.
in their personal lives
right.
and in their even in their music and entertainment world, what they're choosing to surround themselves with,
mm-hmm.
they will become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you will be influenced by all of that.
Right.
So the question is, do I want to be influenced by, you know, Cinderella and fairy tale ideas of Prince Charming and so forth, Or do I want to, like, check out what really happens in the real world? And maybe
exactly.
maybe grandma's the one I should talk to who's been married for 65 years.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe mom and dad have something they could teach me. Or maybe my friends who are struggling with some problems, maybe if we talk them out together, we can figure out where we got these crazy ideas
yes.
of the things we're supposed to be looking for mm-hmm. and figure out a better model, a better way to think about it.
That's cool.
Does that make sense?
It really does. So it's kind of like finding out where we got, like you said, where we got some of these crazy ideas from the media, or romanticizing what it should be like, or who we should find in a relationship, and how we go about doing it. And indeed, you know, watching reality TV, those are definitely crazy people because it's entertaining. So the crazier the person, you know, the more the what is that, the Tool Academies and the, you know, the charm schools, the more crazy people are and dramatic and all that out there, you know, we're thinking, wow, this is how it is in real relationships. Well, I guess if you have issues, I guess it is. But and like you said, you know, movies and the Prince Charming novels and all that romantic stuff, romantic comedies, those are good. They make you feel good and all that. But the reality is to find the truth about, you know, finding healthy relationships. And I think that's what you're
right.
totally talking about here. So
exactly.
I just want to ask you real quickie here, because this I am. Is there really such thing as love at first sight?
Ooh, I'd love that question. Because everybody wants it to be true,
right,
you know.
Right.
If we're only that easy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I prefer to say that there's attraction at first sight.
Right.
Because there is that feel. All of us have experienced sort of that little electric moment when we
right.
see someone and it's like, oh my gosh, is this the one? This
yes.
could be it, you
yes.
know?
Yes.
And I think what we're responding to in that moment is not really the other person, because how could we be? We don't know them.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So we're responding to some stereotype, some romantic notion about true love that they trigger in us.
Interesting.
You know,
right.
Yeah, they trigger it in us, and it gets us all excited. Now, all that means is that they triggered some romantic notion in our head.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean that they're wrong for you or that
right.
they're right for you. It really right. could go either way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But,
yes, it's funny because my husband says to me, I knew the first moment I saw you, it was love at first sight. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just love that. And he's very clever. He knows how to say the right things. But,
yeah.
but I said, oh, who, you know, it was like I had great hair that day. I'd just done a television show. I had perfect makeup and I had a suit on. So, you know, and I was just, I walked
right.
in. When I met you, I was, you know, I was really in a very good, and I was in a good mood. And, you know, so you caught me at a really good time. So not to,
yeah.
you know, destroy his thoughts or anything like that. But, I mean, we've been yeah. together now for 21 years and I guess it worked out. I guess it was love at first sight, huh? So.
Yes, it did work out. And, you know, timing is everything. So that was good. That he
it
saw
was.
You at that moment.
It was good
but,
timing.
But yeah, but you know, in and it's funny, these little stereotypes can in some ways work to lure us in. So he got lured by
yes,
you,
did.
By how you look, to get to know you better.
Yes, he did.
But he could just as easily, I mean, there's plenty of beautiful women walking around with their hair fixed up and nice suits on that wouldn't have been right for him.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And he would have figured that out.
Hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
You know? So I think that's the thing we all need to remember. And also be aware that these sort of romantic, idealized senses that our hair has to be perfect.
Right.
And, you know, we have to dress properly to attract someone. You know, sadly, it is true, because we all fall into that trap, and we're all posturing all the time
mm-hmm.
to try and attract attention and so forth. But I would encourage people to realize that, you know, that's
yeah.
sort of a superficial thing, and it's not
right.
telling you anything really about the person.
Exactly.
And don't get hung up with that.
Right, right.
And needing that, you
yes.
know.
Yes, yes.
Because, you got to wake up with them in the morning, and no one has their hair done right and their makeup on in the morning. I mean, except in the movies.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, I hear you. It's really, it's true, and it's really funny. And, you know, I have some of these clients who come in and they say, you know, he looks perfect, or she looked perfect. They were great. They said the right things. It was all wonderful. And then when I really got to know them, no matter how great looking and great acting they were, the reality was, they weren't all that cracked up to be what I thought they were, you know, and they really got to know these people. So,
right.
And you know, what's interesting too, just to throw this in, is we've talked about this on the air before, and I've had a lot of listeners write me about internet dating sites and how people do need to represent themselves really well, and they do need to take a really good picture in order to get response. But
they do.
What I find a lot of is that some of my clients get upset because when they communicate with, let's say, lady that I have in mind right now, she was complaining a while back, communicating with a guy who was wonderful. The picture was good. They started out slowly. They showed interest. They were, emailing each other, and then it got to talking on the phone, and he had a great voice, and he said all the right things, and then texting and all. And then they finally met in person, and he didn't look anything like he did on the picture. He was kind of rude. He was anxious. He was really uncomfortable to be with. And she said, ew. So, you know, I think this is also part things that we have to look for when we're looking for mates or trying to find a good relationship too, is be really cautious and take a long time to really check out someone in this internet dating scene as well, you know.
Yeah, I know, that's just a whole nother layer of ways we can try and posture and present ourselves the best way we can. I don't know, I would encourage people who are doing that kind of thing to be as honest as they possibly can
yes,
be.
Yes, yes.
You know, because why waste all that time?
Yes.
You can, you know, exactly. I don't know. My daughter actually met her husband.
Yeah.
On Yahoo Personal.
Cool. That's great.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, good for
and
her.
I was I was freaked out because when she told me that's what she was doing.
Right, right.
Because
sure.
I thought, well, he's how will you know
right.
what he's like
right,
and
right.
everything?
Right, right.
But she said, oh, well, you know, people they put on shows in real life. They can put on a show online, and I'm good at telling, you know, seeing through it.
Right.
And
right.
and I think you have to cultivate that ability to read people and say, you know what? What is this person trying to get out of?
Right.
Kind
of trust
this
your
relationship.
Instincts. Yeah, try to trust your instincts. And what doesn't feel, you know, really right about this person? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But to be fair to some of the internet dating services, I do say that they are based on empirical tests of personality matching. You know, these are personality tests and, you know, like that. So some of them are really, really good and right on. So I'm not putting you guys down out there who have those dating services. And I have seen some success stories, like your daughter. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think they work well when the people participating are honest,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it seems like these questionnaires are very in-depth and
right.
well thought out.
Right, right.
And if you're honest in them and find someone else who's been honest, it seems to make sense to me
right.
because it cuts through all that superficial reading the book by its cover kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, you're getting deeper right away.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, folks, if you just turned in, I'm talking with Suzanne Ross. She's the author of The Wicked Truth About Love, and it's a really cool book, and it may help steer you straight, especially if your love life kind of is not going anywhere. You've been in one too many dead-end relationships, and you haven't found your soulmate, and you're not even sure what that is. So this book really will help you out. I found it was great and very helpful. So that's what we're talking about, folks. So let's move on a little bit here. And Suzanne, we were talking about your six tangles of desire. So what exactly does that mean? What are those? We briefly mentioned that, but what are those tangles of desire?
Well, I was trying to identify some patterns that we get into when we forget that our desires are learned from people and places outside of us. So, okay, that's an interesting idea, but so what? You know, what does it look like if I'm getting it right or if I'm getting it wrong?
Right. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we put a quiz together.
Yes.
To help people, figure out which of these patterns they're falling into.
Yes.
And, I think it's kind of a fun thing. There's a short version of the quiz on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, there's a longer version.
Yep.
And I think people will recognize right away that, they'll fall into a dominant type. And then they'll have a little sprinkling of one or the other, or a few of the other ones.
And by the way, this is really a cool quiz. And you know what's great about your book, Suzanne, is that you do, it's involved. You get involved and you take this quiz to find more out about who you are. And by the way, I took the quiz. And I'm not going to tell you who I am. I'm too embarrassed. No, but
I can guess pretty well what you are already.
What do you think, Suzanne? What do you think?
I think you're a custodian.
Well, I came out a sidekick, and then I came. I was sort of 50-50 with the sidekick and the custodian.
Yeah,
personality.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
that doesn't surprise me because you have. It seems like you're very, very interested in nurturing the other person.
Right.
And yourself often will come second.
Yes.
And maybe sometimes, that's not always the best thing for you.
Mm-hmm. It's true. People pleasing can go a little bit too far. And take away from your own, identity and who you are. So some of these, how to find the wicked truth out about yourself, folks, Suzanne gives you, they're really like six different personality kind of types. Like I just said, I came out the sidekick and the custodian, but she has, and we'll talk about each one. She has, after you take the test, are you scoring high on being the best friend forever? Or what she calls the celebrity chef? Or are you the superhero? Are you the rock star? Are you the sidekick or the custodian? So let's talk about each one of those personality types so maybe people can nail who they may be over the radio here. Okay?
Yeah.
So what's the best friend forever like? Who's that like?
Well, the best friend forever does not mean that you've fallen in love with your best friend. That would be a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
But the best friend forever is someone who tends to fall in love with someone their friend is in love with.
Oh.
Or someone who's already in a relationship.
Right.
So what they're doing, especially in this BFF pattern, is, best friends learn what to desire from one another all the time. They share interests in music and clothes and movies and whatever. But this tangle carries that sharing a little too far.
Yeah,
your desire for your best friend's lover is what you're really doing is just borrowing your best friend's love and making it your own.
Right.
And you've got to be really careful because these people who are in this tangle can end up often sacrificing friendships in order to go after the one person they both love. And it usually never works out. You lose the romantic partner and you lose your friend. And it's just a mess.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting tangle. And I think it's all you need to do is just become really conscious of how influenced you are by your best friend.
Uh-huh.
And once you become aware of that, you begin, it just seems natural you're going to love the people your friends love.
Right.
It's just natural.
Yes.
But
yes,
you just got to know when to put the brakes on that thing, you know?
Right. Well, you put it really sweetly, because I think a lot of women out there, and especially some clients I can think of right now, who have really close friends, and they tried to steal their boyfriend away from them, and were sneaking out with them on the side and texting them and talk, you know, that doesn't seem like a BFF to me. That seems like a BITCH, you know.
Yes, indeed it does.
Yeah.
No, I know. And it's because that person is very unconscious about what they're doing.
You're very sweet.
You know, they really, and it's very extraordinarily painful for everybody.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I think.
It is. It sure is.
And don't forget the romantic, the let's say it's the man who's being pursued.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy's got to be using his head too.
Oh, sure.
I mean, we get our heads turned when we have more than one person pursuing us.
Right.
And what we're doing in that case is building up our own ability to love ourselves.
Right.
By imitating the love that we feel coming at us. And if you really need a lot of people paying attention to you in order for you to feel good about yourself, you need to step back from that, really. Because that's going to get you into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it sure is. And like you said,
you know,
like you said, be conscious of how, you know, how much your BFF influences you. How much, you know, how closely you are, and how, you know, it's kind of bringing that to the conscious of, ooh, maybe I'm really attracted to her guy because I just, it's what she likes, and we're so close, and we like everything, and we're so tight and everything. So, that's a great point.
And it's just because always come back to that sense that my desires are always coming at me from outside me.
No.
I'm always being influenced to desire things from that. And once you become aware of that, it's so easy to say, oh, how silly, I don't need to do that.
Right.
You know, when
that's
you become good. Aware of it.
Right. Awareness is really helpful, isn't it? We're talking to Suzanne Ross, the author, by the way, if you just tuned in, of The Wicked Truth About Love. And we're finding out about the wicked truth about you and different personality styles or types or the way you think and behave that could not be too great for you in choosing, you know, relationships and stuff. So we just talked about the BFF, the best friend forever type that you may be. What's the celebrity chef type? What's that mean?
Well, we chose that name because the celebrity chef, you know, on TV are the kinds that are always trying to entice you with their creations and their doctoring and seasoning and trying to present their food to attract you and attract your admiration.
Right.
Well, the celebrity chef we kind of touched on it in the BFF already by saying it's the kind of person who really needs those admiring glances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way they cultivate them is by treating their lover like a fixer-upper, like a recipe that they can doctor.
Uh-huh.
And so they try and, you know, it's the girl who's always picking out the ties for her boyfriend and making sure he's got his hair cut the right way or whatever, or the guy that won't let his girl leave the house unless she's got her makeup on and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's because they need to see the admiring glances coming at their lover bolster their own feelings of love for their beloved.
They're
imitating, their love needs to be reinforced.
Yeah.
And so they try to attract admiring glances to their lover to reinforce their feelings of love. But the celebrity chef type will easy tip over into jealousy.
Yes.
If those glances start coming too frequently, if their lover starts maybe responding, and they will misinterpret. Little interplays between their lover and a friend or something and fly off the handle go off into a jealous rage. So they really are so dependent
right.
on those admiring glances and mm-hmm. and in a certain way, you know, sort of aware that they're playing with fire.
Right, right. Sort of sounds just putting it straightforward, like they have a lot of lower self-esteem and they need to sort of control that other person in order to fulfill what's not within them. You know, that's what it
yeah,
sounds like to me.
Yeah, because what's not in them is confidence, is their own love
right.
for their romantic partner. They need to see it so they can imitate it. It's a strange thing.
Yeah, it's very dependent. Yeah.
It's that interplay, a feedback loop that they're in with everyone looking at their lovers so they can imitate that admiring look, uh-huh. too.
Right, right. Yeah. I get it. How about the superhero? What kind of personality type is that?
Well, the superhero is very interesting because, you know, when we learn what to desire from other people, mm-hmm. one of the clues that something is really desirable is if it's well defended,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I use the example in the book of a dad who's a baseball fan, and he has in his trophy case a sign, you know, autographed baseball
right.
from the World Series. So, you know, I don't know
yeah.
baseball players, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some famous baseball
yeah,
player.
Yeah.
And he takes it out to show it to his little boy
mm-hmm.
and wants the boy to admire it.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as his son reaches for the ball, he yanks it away and says, "Don't you ever touch that."
Yeah.
Right? Because
right.
it's so important to him.
Right.
So that child learns right away, yeah. The most desirable things
uh-huh.
are the things I'm not allowed to have.
Ah. Okay, cool. I like that. And that's an old... Do you know how many people I counsel who have that within them? You know? I'm not good enough. I really desire this person, but I don't think I could ever have them or get them because I really, really desire them, and they're out of my reach. You know?
Right. And
yeah.
and the fact that they think they're out of their reach mm-hmm. or even that they're in another relationship, a lot of times the superhero will fall in love with people who are already in a relationship or who are married.
Right.
And they are unattainable.
Yep.
But the very fact of them being unattainable makes them desirable.
Right.
And the superhero type, you know right away you're one, is if once you attain the love object, you
right.
lose interest right away.
Right, exactly.
As soon as you get it.
Because it's no fun anymore, because you got them. And then you have to the next undesirable, or unattainable, rather, person. You know,
yes.
got to go on to the next.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just, then you fall into this series of patterns of,
yeah.
you know, do you watch Scrubs?
Yes.
That show?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yes. Well, I was just watching an episode the other night with JD, the mm-hmm. one of the main characters,
right,
and
right.
the Elliot, the girl doctor.
Right,
so
right.
JD is always in love with Elliot,
right.
and she's dating someone else.
Right, exactly.
And as soon as he gets her,
uh-huh.
he falls out of love with her.
Right, right.
It's a classic superhero pattern.
It's classic.
And we laugh at it because it's hysterical, and
yeah.
and poor JD's trying to figure out
yep.
why does my desire keep fading and growing and fading and growing? It's because he's a superhero.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what you were calling. That's right. Right.
Yeah. If it's unattainable, it's desirable for
right.
him.
Right. Exactly.
And the conquest is everything.
You know, I'd
you know,
be such a wealthy woman if I had $10 for every time a client over the years has come in and said, "I really, you know, the chase is what it's all about." And then when I finally get him or her, it's not that exciting. I'm on to the next. So, boy,
right.
I'll tell you.
Right.
Let's talk about the rock star personality. What's that one about?
Yeah. The rock star is... The best way to think about them is that they need their image to be boosted all the time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So they can only be around people
right.
who do wonders for their image.
Right.
Okay? So, and they are, rock stars have inflated egos.
Yeah.
So they realize that everyone wants to be with them. Mm-hmm. And they will only pick the most desirable people. And if they find a slight flaw in their lover, they'll dump them. They will dump them. Uh-huh. This is the Seinfeld pattern, I like
yes.
to call it. I mean, all those characters on Seinfeld could not sustain a relationship to save their lives. And it was all for tiny little flaws.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, it's like that, the comedy, exactly, like the Seinfeld thing. I saw her feet in a pair of sandals, and she had a crooked toe, so she's out.
Yes.
She's gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, okay. but these were all, you know, we laughed because they were such shallow people right. and so forth. But they're deep down inside, they really are afraid.
Yeah.
That if they don't surround themselves with all these perfect mm-hmm. Types, that really no one's going to love them.
Right.
So they're trying to build up their image, mm-hmm. and they're so needy of that they can't tolerate any imperfection.
Right.
They just yeah. can't.
Right. So it's about the people around them actually that make them feel good and look good.
Yeah.
It's kind of shallow.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's sad, and like we were saying yeah. earlier, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone who's a rock star, you really do feel used.
Yeah.
And you've got to trust that instinct to say, ooh, they're treating me sort of like a piece of their wardrobe or a piece
right.
of jewelry or
right.
something, you know.
Exactly.
This doesn't feel good.
Right.
And it's not good.
No, it's not good. And in, you know, the mental health field, as you know, we have... In the DSM, we have an Axis II disorder called narcissistic personality disorder. And a lot of these rock star folks kind of fall into that, really, you know? It's kind of nuts,
yeah.
you know, get heavy on the diagnosis. But, I mean, it's true. They fit all the characteristics there.
So they really do. Yeah.
I know. So, now, number five, the... you know, particular tangle you have is a sidekick. Now, what is the sidekick
yeah.
personality like? What is that?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, the sidekick is very close to the custodian because they both understand that love has some hard work involved in it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it also requires some sacrifice because... Really, if you're in a good relationship with another person,
yeah.
that means you're going to be growing and changing and learning what that person needs and learning how to express what you need. And a lot of times you're in an uncomfortable place or a sad place or whatever, but that doesn't mean it's not love. That just means that's part of the work of love.
Right.
But
right.
but the sidekick carries that to an extreme,
mm-hmm.
and they really equate suffering with love. So it's like the harder it is,
right.
the more I'm working, the more it must be true love.
Right.
And they get in one-sided relationships,
right.
you know, where they're doing all the giving, and they're not getting anything back.
Right.
But they think that's okay,
right.
And
right.
it's not.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a 50-50, well, 40-60 thing in a relationship and requires give and take and mutual understanding. And when changes happen, which is inevitable always within anything in a relationship, got to roll with it. And, but
right.
on a sharing basis, takes a lot of patience to do that. So,
yeah.
So the
it really does.
Yeah. The sidekick's a giver, they keep giving. And giving.
Yes.
And that's their kind of self-worth. And it's like, this,
right.
you know, you see, this is my love. And sometimes,
right.
like you said, they don't expect as much in return, and it's okay.
Yeah. When, yeah. And I think you really hit on something. It's because their sense of who they are is tied up with being a giver.
Right.
And sometimes in a relationship, you have to say, you know what, enough is enough.
Right, exactly.
You know, I'm not going there.
Right.
And that's too threatening to the sidekick. Mm-hmm. If they're not a giver, what are they?
Right.
And they have to, you know, reorient and rediscover themselves. And that's maybe more scary
mm-hmm.
for them to do than to just stay in a painful relationship.
Right, right. Right, exactly.
So, yeah, it's a very complicated one, I think, and it can be very kind of scary. And I think it's the kind, and you know better than I about this, but I think it's the kind of person who gets in those enabling relationships.
Exactly.
Who just allows the other person, because they can't say no.
Right, right.
That feels too threatening to their sense of who they are, right, to be able to say no.
Exactly. You know, in the DSM, they have you know, the category on the personality disorders is called dependent personality disorder. Giving and good giving and giving, and it's like, oh, it's okay, I don't deserve it, so I'll keep, you know, hanging in there. Okay, and it is too scary to change and be more assertive and draw boundaries and say, okay, this is what I expect from you too in return. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I think probably what you do in your work is to try and give them a different model for what a relationship should look like.
Exactly.
And I, that's what I'm trying to do too, is to say, you know, that's a mistaken idea.
Exactly.
Of what a relationship should be like. Let's think about it in a different way. And you're not a horrible person.
Right.
If you say no to somebody, that's important.
Exactly.
You have to be able to draw boundaries. And
exactly.
So I'm, you know, that sidekicks need that alternative offer to them. And,
right.
They somehow need to be encouraged to believe in it.
So let's move on to the last one, because I want to get this in too, is the custodian personality. What is that all about?
Yeah. Well, we chose that name because the custodian is actually what I think is the ideal, someone who really gets what love is about and is really kind of got the right idea. And I called it the custodian because I wanted to really highlight the difference between this tangle and the other ones.
Right.
Because the other ones are all, except for the sidekick, the other ones are all very much about getting something, you know, in return. They're either trying to acquire, like the BFF, trying to get a lover that someone else has, or bolster their self-esteem or whatever. The custodian is all about, what can I give?
Right.
Right?
Right.
What can I give? And the hard work of figuring that out doesn't bother me.
Right.
It's okay.
Right.
I'm good with it.
There's not a big ego involved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they're not looking for the limelight or the spotlight or anything, but they are looking for someone who shares their idea about what love is about.
Mm-hmm.
That you want to, they want to find someone who's as committed to the relationship and working on that relationship as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And and when they find it, they're happy.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
So folks, if you read the book, The Wicked Truth About Love, and you take the test that's in the book, which I did, by the way, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, and it's the book questionnaire, and it's all about who you are and maybe the problems, the tangle of desire that you may be into, the little patterns of behavior and finding relationships and acting that way. And you can nail maybe the personality type or whatever that I call it, the best friend forever, celebrity chef, superhero, rock star, sidekick, or the custodian. You'll want to try to be a custodian. So Suzanne, folks, Suzanne will tell you more about how you can work towards being a healthier person in a relationship or following that custodian type of personality. So you'll find love, true, honest, healthy love. Exactly, right?
That's the goal.
Yeah.
What we all want.
Yes, we are. Yes, that's really true. So, you know what, Suzanne? Time's kind of slipping by us really quickly here. I wanted everybody to find out where they could get in touch with you if they needed to, and also where they could get your book.
Oh, that's great. Well, they can go to thewickedtruthaboutlove.com to take the quiz and buy the book. You can also buy it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And you can contact me at the Raven Foundation.
Cool.
Because all the proceeds of the book go to my foundation, which is The Raven Foundation, which we're working to help people build more peaceful relationships and build a more peaceful world. So
I love that.
All proceeds go to the foundation.
All right, great. And what is that website, Suzanne?
That is theravenfoundation.org.
Great.
And my email is just sross@ravenfoundation.org.
Great. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been fun, Suzanne. What a great book. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed talking with you.
And I think you're going to help a lot of people out there with their relationship issues and maybe kind of figure out who they are and some of the destructive patterns they're doing so they can get their act together and find happiness.
Yeah.
Find some kind of happiness.
That'd be great.
Exactly. All righty. Suzanne, thanks so much. And have a great day. And I hope, a lot of folks get information and they'll get their act together on their relationships, too.
That'd be great. Thanks so much,
All
Dr.
Right.
Michelle. I appreciate it.
You got it. Take care now. All right. That was great. That's Suzanne Ross, of course, author of The Wicked Truth About Love. Great book. You could get it, like she said, Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. You know, if you wish, that's doable as well. So, yeah, it's about that time. This is Dr. Michelle on the couch, as usual, every day. Friday, about this time live. You can download a lot of my old relationship shows too. Look at the history and find out things you'd like to learn. If you want to get in touch with me, you can find me at drmichelletherapy.com, Dr. Michelle with two L's, or email me about your problems and issues, whatever, at docmichelle@aol.com. I'll be back for you next Friday, same time. Of course, like I said, you can download this too and find out more about your problems and why you keep picking the wrong person in your relationships. As I always say, have a great day and do take care of yourself first.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get your name. I wouldn't know what to say to you just the same. Oh, I'll take my time. I'll hold you. Oh,